Happy Monday to each of you. I'm curious, we are halfway through the month of April, and what are your big wins? You're welcome to put those in the chat. Or if someone is feeling extra excited and wants to share it out loud, what is going well for you today? Got a new puppy. All right. Personal joy is so instrumental into our work joy. So I love that you added that here. Jeff?
I'll share that I have been working on clarifying my service model and weaving that into a website revision, and it's feeling really good. So.
Awesome. Love that alignment. Got some people finishing up Surge too. I'm in that camp. This is my last week of Surge, full Surge. It's exciting. Passed your CFP course. Woo-hoo! Way to go, Samantha. That's awesome. And Samantha, just remember that you've passed many tests before, and this will just follow in line with that. Bring all those good vibes. All right. Any other things we want to celebrate? Had the first fee raise conversation with one client. We'll continue on with others. Awesome, Rashani. I know that we talked about that the last time I was on this call with you. Way to get some forward motion on that. Feels good. May the momentum continue on. My big win that I'll share is last week I'm still working on a $3 million new prospect, which is punching up a lot higher than I have in the past. And I think we're coming to the final this week, I should know for sure, as well as an intro call with a new client that's like right in alignment with our service model. And so it's just really exciting to see that come through. All the good work put in over these years coming to fruition and bringing big old grapes is what I'm saying this year. So, all right. So we want to check in with the typical check-in that we do. And Allison, actually at the top of my mind, can you help me with the one, two, three? One is that we are doing well. Two is so-so, and three is hitting a patch.
Yeah, some kind of roadblock to your forward momentum.
Yep. So if you can drop in the chat there where you're sitting for today. And while you're doing that, if Jocelyn is on the line, I'd love to see if you're here. I know that you had mentioned there's some support you would like.
I do not see her yet, Liz. I will keep an eye out for you.
Okay, thanks. For those who are at a two or a three, if you could highlight what puts you there versus a one. Can you put in what's the two or one? One is like rocking and rolling in high gear. Two is kind of pacing. Maybe there's a little bit in the way, but you don't feel necessarily stuck, and three is more stuck. Wait until tax after tax day. Competing demands, Jeff. Head trash with marketing. Michelle, is this around any particular area? If you can highlight that. Middle of Surge, still on board with new employee and just grinding. We'll be next week. What, William, what area of that is feeling the most stuck-ish for those areas? Is it your the Surge component, the onboarding component, being in that grinding place? Okay, sounds like Michelle, it's marketing too. So maybe we'll, it has, J Jocelyn has not come on quite yet. Okay.
She hasn't was.
Is there anybody else? I'm going to invite Michelle and Eric, if you guys can come on camera. Maybe we'll pin you guys for the conversation first. And then if there's anybody else that wants to jump in to get group coached around kind of the marketing aspect of what you're up to and feeling kind of stuck there, we'll start there. So if that's you and I haven't called your name, you can raise your hand and we will put the spotlight on you. So again, we've got Michelle and Eric Walters. Hey there.
Hi.
And Allison, are you able to spotlight them?
Yes, I just pinned them. I think they're showing up.
Oh, my view. not showing for me.
Are they showing for anybody else or no? No. Okay. Maybe. Let's do a spotlight. We see Michelle?
Spotlight.
Now we see you. Okay. And Eric. Hey. I don't see Eric anymore.
Okay.
Hey, I'm here just to confirm I'm on.
Oh, you're on a phone?
No, I'm on a laptop, but just to let you know I'm on screen and ready to hear you.
Perfect.
Okay, there you are.
Sarah. There. Awesome. Now I can see you both. All right. So if you could stay, like, I'll start with you, Michelle. Where are you at with marketing? If you could give me like a what's happening in 1 minute.
So COI focus, Adam has tasked me with kind of dropping into COI's offices and just talking to someone and trying to build a relationship and schedule some time with them and just build the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's all mindset. So I am spending all my time figuring out where they are and I'm writing down their addresses and I'm looking
Getting
them
ready
up.
To get ready.
Oh yeah. I'm really good at it. Like spending all kinds of time, but I'm not doing anything. And then then I don't know, okay, what do I ask them? And then what would I possibly say and follow up? Yeah. So that was more than 1 minute, but.
Okay. And Eric, what about you?
Yeah, so we've struggled with, slow to no growth for 9 months. And so we've spent some time redefining our niche. And, I have some, kind of questions like, am I really going to go after this niche? It's high net worth investors of faith. And I'm like, wow, okay, so I've got to put myself out there with my faith. I haven't done that before. And then we've, I think, got momentum on marketing events that we'll try. But I find myself thinking, I don't know, hasn't worked for 9 months. So I've got doubt like, is this even going to work? Why am I putting in the effort? So I think it's just discouragement, kind of a sense of futility. And also this idea that we're going to go after a different sort of niche. We're going to be talking in a different way. So I think I'm uncertain about that.
Okay. And of those two that you kind of distilled there, the putting myself out there for this niche and it hasn't been working, how is it going to work now? Which of those feel like the biggest shift that you could have in your mindset?
Yeah, I think for me, the sense of futility, like, it's the first time in my career, I put in efforts around marketing and COI outreach and just not seen anything. Mm-hmm. Prospects, we've had prospects say yes, and then ghost us. And I'm like, wow, okay, that happens. But to happen multiple times, it's like, so I think it's really that sense of futility. Like, I don't think it's going to work. That talk.
Yeah. Michelle, you got a big old smile when you said that. Anything pop up for you as he said it?
No, the whole, is it going to work? Yeah, it's, I get it. You're like, I'm in somewhat of a similar boat. I haven't seen a lot of growth. There's been a little bit here and there, but I feel like I've been stuck at this one particular level for a long time. So yeah, is it going to work, Eric? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And how is doubt serving you right now? I'll let you both answer that question.
I think for me, I think doubt gives me like an out, like, well, you don't have to put forward full effort. You don't have to risk, kind of really trying and being disappointed. I think doubt gives me a chance to be like, well, it wasn't going to work anyways, and not really put forward full effort, and really go for it and risk, being like, wow, man, that was another thing. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm. What about for you, Michelle?
Everything he just said, it's easy.
Mm-hmm. And so the gift of it, what I'm hearing for both of you, is that it allows you not to go into full effort mode.
And risk rejection.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Yeah.
What is, so I heard rejection on Michelle's side. I heard disappointment on Eric's side. What do you already know about rejection and disappointment for yourself?
It doesn't sound fun. It couldn't hurt. It is surely going to sting. And it's not the desired outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just emotions. Mm-hmm. It's just an experience. Yeah, it's not going to kill you. No one's going to die.
Mm-hmm. So what can you do to reframe this for yourself?
Any ideas, Michelle?
No, I was looking to you for the ideas, Eric.
I think part of it is I have a friend that likes to use the phrase, let's try a project. And I like that idea that, like, this is a project, even if it's just a one-time thing. And so you try a project. If it doesn't work, you move on. I don't have to make a 5-year commitment to anything, right? You're like, no, let's make it as a project. So I think lowering the stakes mentally, mm-hmm. just thinking, we'll try this and we'll keep trying things. And that's how business works. So just, I think reframing it as a series of projects, and then also reminding myself that we have found things that have worked in the past. And so this isn't like, you know, solving, you know, nuclear fusion. It's been done before, you know, not only in our firm, but all the, you know, amazing people here. And, you know, ask for help and, like, I'm sure good things will happen eventually.
So which of those feels like a bigger shift for the idea of futility for you, Eric? Try a project, or things have worked in the past?
I think for me, things have worked in the past. To remind myself that, you know, we go through phases in our businesses and with business development, and it's worked in the past. And I think that for me is the best way to deal with that sense of futility, or like, why even try?
Mm-hmm. And how often do you go back and look at what's worked?
In the past, not very often, but, you know, we've been doing it through Limitless, just kind of being like, hey, what has worked? Okay. And, you know, why did we stop that? Or, you know, we could try that again. Mm-hmm. And let's brainstorm new ideas. So, yeah, in the past, it hasn't been a discipline. But we did realize that there are some things that we've done in the past that have worked that we stopped doing for budget reasons. And you're like, well, okay, this kind of makes sense. This isn't like a Sherlock Holmes novel here. Like, kind of, you know, if you stop doing it, you might stop getting the results. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make it easier, because we stopped for a reason. Cash flow is tight, and you're mm-hmm. like, okay. So it's not a like a duh solution. You're like, well, you know, what are we going to do now? So you just kind of brainstorm.
And when you get present to what those items were in the past that did work, that you ended up stopping for cash flow, what was like one of those ways about going about marketing?
Yeah, it was cooking classes with our best clients, where we'd leave 30% of the spots open for friends. They were really successful, and we would usually get one or two clients out of that, and really great clients, because if we invite our kind of favorite clients, so those are great, but they're pricey. You know, mm-hmm. at least the places we've done them, where it's like a real chef and nice, you know, wine and, you know, beautiful, you know, location. So you're like, okay, so what worked about that? And could we pull some ideas out of that? So we've done wine tastings. Mm-hmm. I just did a bourbon tasting, which are a lot more affordable. So you're like, okay, you can still do it. And part of the frustration was, we just had one. We asked clients, hey, if you'd like to invite anybody, we'd love to have you. And nobody invited anybody. So that's mm-hmm. the, like, oh my gosh, you know, be like, you just rinse and repeat, try it again. So yeah, but those have worked really well for us.
Are you open to a reflection?
Yes, please.
So I noticed when you started talking about the cooking classes, your energy level lifted.
Mm-hmm.
Your speed of, like, the pace of voice that you used picked up. And then you switched over, but they got really expensive. And so then you started slowing down and your energy level started to sink. If you were to put an emotion to thinking about cooking classes going well, what is the emotion?
like hanging out with a bunch of friends. I mean, we, you know, thankfully we have great clients and it's like a little party, you know, it's so much fun. People are laughing, you know, they're just getting to know each other and the clients like socializing with each other and then, you know, their guests and everything. So it's like, I'm like hosting a party for friends. It's great. So yeah. And then we just had this bourbon tasting and it also felt the exact same way. It was a lot of fun. You know, I happen to know, you know, a good amount about bourbon, probably more than I should. So it was fun to introduce it to people. And so, yeah, it was just, it's like hosting a party.
I love it. Yeah. You said earlier that disappointment is just an emotion. And so having people over for a little party, that's just an emotion too. What is the emotion?
I guess it's like that kind of joy and friendship, you know, you're like, hey, let's get together. Let's, you know, let's just catch up. Let's share, you know, a good memory together. So yeah, it's like joy and friendship.
So as we think about mindset and getting ourselves in that really happy, high performance headspace, how can you get yourself feeling that emotion of joy and friendship more as to spur the marketing activity in the direction that you want and all the creativity there and as you're shifting it to bourbon tastings or wine tastings or?
Yeah, I think for me, realizing my motivation, I get a lot of joy, you know, getting people together and just helping people. And that if I view our marketing activities through the same lens, I view helping clients, where like tonight or tomorrow, we're hosting a happy hour, same thing, joy and friendships, like, you know, just, so I think if I apply that thought, the reason we're doing this is kind of joy and friendships and eventually business will come. That's a lot more fun to look forward to. And even if one event doesn't work, like we didn't get a client out of that, or there weren't any prospects, you have still, you know, still it's a positive experience for me. And I think for everyone who comes.
My invitation to you is to write joy and friendship somewhere and keep it close to you so you can reference back to it. And I was looking at, I didn't attend last week with Adam, but I saw the power pose stance. Were you guys there for that conversation? Yeah, so this is another version of power pose is like, I'm going to visualize joy and friendship and I'm going to get in that stance because even if I'm not feeling it right now, I can imagine it and then sink into the emotion of it. And then that carries us forward. Emotions are a leading for our energy, for our high performance. So is that helpful for you?
Very. Yeah. Thank you.
Michelle, what did you get from that as you were taking it in?
Several things. It's just an emotion. So I have to pick which emotion I choose to focus on. And if I focus on the fact that I'm truly trying to help people, that's my ultimate goal. It's not, my ultimate goal is trying to help people and I'm putting myself out there. And, if I focus on that, that will truly kind of get me through. Hopefully that will give me the confidence and the nerve to do it.
Okay.
Knowing and that I'm coming from a good place.
All right. And when we, you were talking about, my words were like getting ready to get ready. You're there, you're filling out the list. This is where the COI is. This is their address and all of that. What is the key emotion that you have as you're getting ready to get ready?
Dread.
Ah, great awareness on that. So makes sense, right? That you're not taking the next step.
Yep, because I have to walk into this office and, you know, ask and put myself out there and say, hey, I'm just trying to, you know, meet someone. I want to ideally find someone who's as hungry as I am, to quote Adam. And, you know, they might not like what I have to throw out there.
Mm-hmm. You might love it. But I noticed that wasn't where you went.
No, I went to the negative. You're right.
Okay. So what's the emotion that you want to embody?
Excitement and hope. I don't want to go into this going, oh my God, they're not going to like me, this is going to be hard. What if they say no? I want to go into it like, hey, I'm here to help. Maybe this will work. Maybe they will, you know, maybe I'm just the person they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. How do you relate to that word hope?
I like hope. It gives you like a positive feeling about the future. And it's better, you know, it's obviously better than dread.
Yeah, so it's like a leading emotion in that. May I offer a next step after hope?
Please.
So if you're shifting dread to hope. My invitation for you is for it to land in trust.
Okay.
Because hope can quickly be pulled back to doubt.
Yeah.
As where trust is, I trust what's happening in this conversation. I trust that their reaction right now, whether it's with me or not with me, is the right direction for this moment in time.
Okay.
What do you hear as a distinction in that for you?
It's a shift to the process versus the outcome.
Oh, okay. Love that.
Right. I can control my end of the process. I can't control the outcome, but I can just try my best to make it happen. And then try not to take it personally if it doesn't go the way I want.
There is only do, there is no try. Okay. I won't get the Yoda quote right. So
say it again. Very good, Yoda. Very good. So okay.
So say it again, but from a do instead of a try.
I will trust in the process. I will have hope that my efforts meet with a positive reaction. I will hope, not dread.
And I trust that if it's not met with the reaction I'm expecting or desiring, that it's okay.
I trust that if I don't get the reaction that I hope or want, that it's okay. I'm not a bad person. It's not like a bad thing.
Yep. And just notice, even in that statement, the way that you're connecting your goodness or badness to someone else's emotional reaction in the moment, which could be like they just were puking all day, and then you show up and you're like, hey, you ready? Are you hungry? Like, I'm hungry. And they're like, no, I just puked. Metaphor.
Right, right.
And it has nothing to do with you.
That's true. They're not. And
definitely doesn't have anything to do with your goodness, which is intact at all times.
Okay. Thank you.
How do you want to remember these pieces for yourself?
Don't dread, focus on hope, trust in the process.
Okay.
Outcome is not personal.
Will you create some sort of visual reminder of that?
Yes. I'm making a
or
note.
Auditory. Now. It doesn't have to be visual.
Okay. No, I will do visual.
Cool. Awesome.
Thank you.
Was this helpful for you two today?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome.
I'm gonna grab that.
Sorry. I missed what you said. I don't know who it was. I couldn't even.
I think it was Kevin.
Kevin. Well, you're welcome to add your comments. I couldn't hear what you said. For those listening along and applying it for yourselves, I invite you to add your own insight or takeaway action to the comments thread. All right. Jocelyn, thank you very much. We can unpin these folks. Jocelyn, I hear you are on the call. And I am inviting you to have a conversation here based on some feedback you gave your quarterly check-in. Are you still there? Thank you, do or do not, there is no try. Thank you, Jeff, you got my back. Still looking for Jocelyn if she is here.
I see her in the chat and I messaged her. I have not heard back, so she may not be able to come off mute right
okay.
now.
Well, in this moment, I will look through the comments here for some other people and maybe group those and then come back to Jocelyn. Debbie, one advisor is the best. What did I do? Okay, I'm going to suggest we go with Debbie here for this moment. And then JP, can you, is this a lot of things happening at once? I'm kind of like scanning through it. And if so, then I'll put William and Leanna and JP together in a conversation. Okay, let's talk to Debbie Huttner. You can come on the screen.
I'm not dressed appropriately. I just got back from.
Oh, how dare you? We only accept appropriately dressed people.
I just
you don't have to be on screen if you don't want to. You can just be listened to.
I'll decide. For now, this is good.
You look great. I love it.
Thank you. I went on my mental health hike. Much needed.
Yay. Yes. Good for you. So I see that there's a conversation happening today and you have some feelings about it.
I do. Wait, hold on. I'm trying to see how I can pin you here. How do I pin you?
I think Allison can help us spotlight you and me. Just give it a moment.
Oh, that would be awesome. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I have a client that I talked with a couple of people in Charlotte about this. So sorry if you heard this already or if you're on the call, but my biggest, I had two really big clients going into 2024 that I brought in 5 years ago. One had a total asset base of 35 million that I was managing, and the other had a total of 60 million. And the 35 million, 20 of it is now going to another advisor because we were kind of splitting responsibilities, and she's decided to have it managed by the other advisor for a variety of, it's a private family foundation, and for a variety of reasons, it actually makes sense because they have a lot of private investments and I don't want to do that. And so that's okay. The other client is the $60 million client, has about 52 of that at JP Morgan, and I manage like 8 of it now-ish. She had been paying me a consulting fee on what was at JP Morgan before, and just a month ago decided she could just do it with JP Morgan. Like, she didn't need my consulting anymore because I got her through like this whole big, huge transition over the last 5 years. And she actually cried when she told me this. She was like, I wouldn't be where I am if it weren't for all your help over the last 5 years. And so she's very fee sensitive, although I get it in a way. JP Morgan manages 120 million for her and her mother. So she gets a 0.3% fee base for everything because of the volume of assets. Mm-hmm. And I charge her now my fee schedule. And given the amount that I charge, it comes out to 0.6% on the remaining stuff that I actually manage at Schwab under my Pearl Wealth Master account. So the conversation is coming to a head for me because it's just the amount of money that I manage is split between her personal assets and a trust, and the half of it's at JP Morgan. And I can tell that she's trying to move every dollar out of Schwab that she possibly can to JP Morgan. Like, she wanted her taxes paid. She wanted me to pay her taxes from Schwab. She wants every month to transfer every dollar of cash that comes into Schwab over to JP Morgan. And it's like this really annoying thing because it's obvious to me that she's just trying to like reduce her fees through this method. And she could just say, look, I'm just going to have JP Morgan manage all of it. She hasn't though. And I offer something deeper in many ways than JP Morgan. And in many ways they offer something deeper. I'm one person. They're a billion people, you know, they're a huge thing. But she hasn't taken it out. But the straw broke the camel's back on Thursday or Friday last week when she was like, I want to pay the taxes from the cash that's in Schwab. And I couldn't do it directly from Schwab because of a few reasons. We had to transfer it to JP Morgan, to her checking account there. And I just was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm jumping through all these hoops. It just feels so transparent to me that it's like, she's just trying to like get the money out of, she's trying to have me as her advisor still. And yet have me manage as little as possible so she can reduce her fees. Mm-hmm. And she's a very, very dear friend. We've been friends for 20 years, very dear. Mm-hmm. And it's really tricky. And I'm going through hell in my personal life. And she knows a lot about it, which makes me insecure because I'm like, maybe she thinks I'm just not capable of operating at the level at which, you know, I could, but for this insane amount of stress in my life. So I'm trying to navigate a lot of things here, but so maybe I don't have to have the conversation today, but I kind of just feel like, I don't know, I guess I already, we have a time at 5:30 to talk about this. And again, I don't have to, but I just feel like I can either keep going with this model of splitting the assets and dealing with this bullshit of transferring every penny out of Schwab to to JP Morgan or covering every dollar of expenses, or I could just talk about it. And I don't know, maybe it's not the best. I don't know. I'm kind of like, I have so much on my plate. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to hear what you think. There could also be, like, I had the analogy this morning of, am I trying to fight too many fronts here? Or is this a front that needs to be addressed at this time?
And when you asked yourself that question, what was the gut level response?
I can't tell.
Okay. What's the outcome that you want?
So my ideal scenario would be to manage 100% of these two trusts, period, which would be like, I think, 16 million. And then there would be no drama of changing, moving the money for the taxes or this, you know, none of that. And actually charging her my actual fee schedule, which at that level would be a little over 0.5, a little over 0.5%. I'd give her 0.5%. But what I actually, I don't know, but I also last week sort of internally decided that I was going to offer to match the JP Morgan fee schedule to manage it all. So that would be 0.3%, which means I would basically be making the same amount I'm making now, but I wouldn't have to deal with all this drama of like moving money back and forth between JP Morgan and like just the sort of, to be honest, slight hit to my ego every time I'm told I want to pay the tax, you know, just there's like an emotional part of this that's not healthy. Mm.
What has you bring that component into each transaction?
I feel a little used, like when she wants me to pay the taxes, it just feels very obvious that she's trying to move every dollar out of these two entities at Schwab. Mm-hmm. It just feels, I don't know. It just, I mean, maybe it's fine. It doesn't, something about it doesn't feel right, but.
What are you making it mean?
It feels disrespectful. Okay. I just realized that word is so loaded. Like, why am I making it mean respect? Hmm. Something about respect. I don't know.
Okay.
And I kind of see. Awareness. Maybe it's not respect. Maybe it's not an issue of respect. I see how she operates in her life and she's wonderful. And again, we're very good friends, but there's definitely a sense of, I don't know. I guess I'll just leave it at that. That's the feeling, is it feels like it's not, I'm not being valued. I'm just being like, I'm being kind of a pawn.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm not here to say change your fee schedule, don't change your fee schedule. That's a practice management call. I am only going to focus on mindset here.
Yeah.
Okay. And what would be, you said that your ideal outcome is to manage all the money and not have to deal with it.
Correct. Because I think Yeah, I think that's just in her best interest, honestly. Like when we had to transfer the money from Schwab to JP Morgan Friday, it was like, I wasn't sure if I was actually going to even get to JP Morgan on time for the 4:15 deadline. And I was like, this is not fiduciarily ideal. Like this is not, this doesn't feel like it does not work.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think at the end of the day, having one of us manage everything is the best from a fiduciary point of view. And frankly, I don't want to lose the assets because mm-hmm. I'm like financially, I need that money right now.
So if you could create a win-win, what would be possible?
I think this conversation around, I'm sensing, I'm aware that you're sensitive to the difference in fees between Schwab and JP Morgan. And I don't think you're best served by this current model because of things like what happened Friday. And there have been other examples as well. Lack mm-hmm. of coordination of investment strategies and cash flow basically are the two things, cash flow management mm-hmm. being probably the biggest one. And I want this to be a win-win for you and I want this to be a win-win for both of us. I guess it comes down to like, is there, what's the right number? Like it comes back to the fee, I think, for her.
Perhaps. And just to put it on the table, you've said it a couple of times, obviously, or I see the way that she's doing this. She may not be aware that she's doing this. So perhaps from a neutral perspective, hey friend, have you noticed this happening? What's there for you? And then this is how it
can you hold on for 1 second? I want to take some notes. Hold on. Okay.
Water break.
All right. I'm gonna record this because it's helpful, I think. I might listen to this again.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm just going to hit voice record. Ah, okay. Voice record.
And while you're, voice record. Yeah.
You're on.
Okay. So, the dot, I'll just connect a couple of dots that I hear. I don't have to be right about this. You get to direct it if I'm off pace. What I hear you saying is like, obviously she's doing this nitpicky thing with the money. I see it. It shows up this. So she may not be aware of that. When you say she's doing this stuff and then you're attaching it to disrespect, you're bringing that energy into the conversation because transactions that a client makes are neutral. They have no meaning except for the meaning we make for them. So when you hear it reframed from that perspective, what do you hear for yourself?
There's a learning here for me, period. First of all, that someone else's behaviors may not be conscious to them. And when I make it about respect for me, of me, that's, just an interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a guess. And even the word respect is kind of like vague and interpretive. Like, does that make sense?
You're placing a judgment on it of whether it's vain or not. So there, it's like the double judgment. I'm judging her, but then I'm judging me for judging her kind of a thing. It's okay. Just let it be.
Okay. It's actually very, there's some learning. So I have a long history of a relationship with my brother that's similar to this, and I think she's similar in some ways. So I appreciate your reframe. And now I guess the question is, okay, so then how do I approach, do I really want to put the whole relationship at risk with this conversation, or do I just want to kick it back or avoid it? Or do I want to have a different kind of conversation? What's the conversation to be had?
Yeah.
I guess I'm really scared that if I bring it up, that she's going to say, you know, I know this is a really hard time for you. And I want to be supportive of you. So I don't want to make any big changes, but I do think it would be better if JP Morgan just managed everything. I'm afraid of hearing that right now. And maybe I can, so maybe it's best to postpone the conversation. Cause I don't know, like.
Perhaps. What I hear and I'm curious about is this distinction that there's some dynamics with your brother that are reflective in this relationship. And so you're pulling some of that story back in. By simply understanding that in yourself, has that cleared up the feelings attachment to the transactions to the point where you can continue on in the relationship? Or is there still a conversation to be had?
I didn't follow that actually, but I think the bigger elephant in the room right now isn't the thing with my brother. It's that my kid is like, it's just horrible, like suicidal basically right now. It's my separating out my professional self from my personal self in this relationship with her because she knows my personal life pretty well. Mm-hmm. I've had to do this with another client too. The other big client I had a very similar situation with, and trusting the other client didn't say anything. I managed her $15 million of her personal assets and she didn't say anything about that. And I do an amazing job. I mean, I know I do an amazing job for her. So maybe it's really just trusting that I've got this personal shit show going on right now. And it has been going on for a long time, although it's heightened, separating that out and just really drawing like a boundary with the friendship now and sort of, I think it's more about that in this conversation and in this like dynamic.
How might that conversation go for you, if it's a conversation with her?
I think it would just be me feeling internally really strong about what I offer as a financial advisor and trusting that regardless of what's happening on the personal side.
Awesome. How do you want to remember that for yourself?
Can you provide a little more like reflection first and then?
You said you wanted to be grounded in the good work that you're doing. So how do you want to remember that you're ground? Like, how do you want to remember I'm doing great work?
Probably making a list of like maybe the ways that I do. It's like celebrating the wins, like celebrating the things that I do that are really helpful to her.
Love it. I don't know why this hit me, so I'm going to offer it to you with no attachment. Do you like, if you like music, you can set that list to a song, maybe a song you already know, and just sing it to yourself occasionally.
I like it.
I don't know why that came up, but.
I'm going to put Taylor Swift's The Man, because if I was the man, I wouldn't be doubting all this shit.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Does this feel complete for you?
I think enough. Okay. I love Adam's phrase of next best step. Like, I don't have, this doesn't have to be like, I'm not like, yeah. Yeah.
You're always welcome to follow up with me and Tribe. Just tag me.
Okay. Thanks.
Keep the conversation going. Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks.
All right. I'm checking in again about Jocelyn.
So Jocelyn is in Hawaii, so she has quite a large time difference. So she's going to pass today.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Then let's do that other idea that I had, which was three people, if I recall, William Pitney, I'm scrolling to try to find JP.
Yep, JP.
And Leanna. Hello.
Hey.
Has any of the conversation helped resolve some of the pieces that you were trying to put together today for yourself?
Okay. Some of it puts things in perspective, but I find that that's the case with most of these calls. It does it for the moment. Mm-hmm. And then I get off the call and realize I've got two or three other conference calls and, you know, a few more days left of surge. And a month and a half left until my 12-month target, if you will.
12-month what?
Target, since I've switched firms.
Okay.
Back in June. So it's a matter of balancing the stragglers that are still out there that haven't said no but have been hard to reach, along with all of the new shiny objects that I'm seeing through Limitless and my new firm that I can use, and marketing tactics I wasn't able to use at my last firm that are now available. And I think we're all planners on the call here. I maybe I'm the only one, I don't know, but I tend to get in the rabbit hole when it comes to planning, whether that's marketing planning or planning the call, a protocol for, you know, how many days between next email outreach versus phone call or all these different things. And then you add ChatGPT into those rabbit holes and there goes a whole weekend. So it's just a matter of grabbing one of the things being juggled and holding on to it and just being okay with the pieces falling where they may.
Mm-hmm. Does that resonate for you, William or Leanna? Or is there another angle aspect that you're thinking about for yourself? Leanna, you're on mute. Oh, went back on. Sorry. There we go.
Okay, my hands are off the computer.
You got it.
For me, I always get stuck in my own head. You know, I tend to be a controller of things I shouldn't be. It takes me a while to get, you know, client notes documented. I mean, an extreme amount of time, I'm a storyteller. I feel that, you know, I'm pretty good at recalling things, but I need to make sure I get them documented so that my staff can then do the different things I need them to do. So Travis had done a bunch of research. We've tried different tools before. So last week we finally, he convinced me to go on and use an AI tool. So last week, towards the end of the week, we got it set up for Jump, and I've had two client meetings and a couple of phone calls with clients that have gone through the AI app, which tremendously reduced the amount of time that it would take me to do my documentation of a conversation or a meeting with a client. So that's great, but part of it is I need to make sure I continue to do that. I am one, I will be great for a couple of weeks and then my head gets in the way and I revert back to my old ways. So both Travis, my partner, and my assistant Alexis will be there to make sure that I'm, you know, getting that set up. Our struggle is that we can't tie it in with our current technology. So it's not a smooth process. Our future space, we will be launching our own new RIA, so it'll be built very differently. So things will be able to be integrated. So that's one of, you know, my struggles is that whole thing. We've just got a lot of things that we're working on to try to launch the new firm, and as well as still run our business. And another mindset thing is I lost, she was in my top probably 15% of my clients, left to go to another advisor. It was kind of a shock to me. So that kind of, it was a longstanding relationship. And what I think bothered me the most was I was trying to wrap my mind around why, you know, and she didn't give me an explanation and she doesn't owe me an explanation, but I was like, I was really, you know, so my mind spent probably more time than it should have trying to rehash in my mind her reasons. And, you know, so I wasted time on that. So, I think this week I'm over it. The assets have transferred out. And it, you know, it's one of those things that sits on my shoulder for a while, just really bugging me. So, and then I just start doubting forming our own RIA in this. And are there going to be others that don't follow, which I'm confident the clients will follow, but it, there's just this a little bit of me that gets nervous about that. So that's,
and as you kind of weigh those two things that you just distilled out, one is this way of your head gets in the way and you revert back to old patterns, and the other is the doubt that creeps in when you get into the rehashing of something not going the way that you anticipated, right. Which feels like the bigger shift for you?
You mean the bigger positive shift, or the bigger issue is reverting to old habits?
Okay.
That's the bigger frustration. And it's a frustration for me because I know that I do that. I tend to do that. And it's a much bigger problem for my whole team.
Okay.
You know, things will, you know, some things will fall through the cracks or things like that. Not major stuff, but nothing should fall through the cracks. And part of that is a technology issue and the ease or the inability to have things integrate to make things run smoother. So part of it's that, but most of it is me. And I take, you know, it's like responsibility, but I, you know, got to change my ways. And it's.
Great awareness on all of that.
And my staff will tell you I'm fully aware of my weaknesses.
Not every leader is, so consider that a win for this moment. And I'm going to come back to you. William, where are you at and how would you distill where you feel stuck?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I feel stuck business-wise, just a lot of personal stuff. We bought a house, we moved, everything was going great. And then we started having some water intrusion. So trying to deal with all of that stuff and then onboarding a new employee and going through search. So it's just like, you know, trying to balance work time and personal time. And whenever I get this way, I realize that I like to snack and like crunchy snacks. So it's telling me my stress is up and no matter what I do, I'm just going to snack. So it's just trying to find a way to manage all those things and not let anything hit the floor. So it just is. The good news is I'm just about through with Surge and we haven't missed anything. My staff has been great. I just want to get to the other side of Surge so I have time to focus more on the personal stuff.
Mm-hmm. What message, if any, are the crunchy snacks telling you?
It's too many things.
Too many things?
Too many things. I would probably be in a much better space, but trying to deal with all the personal stuff around the house, trying to deal with the guys and all that stuff and trying to keep the family safe. So, yeah.
Turns out you're a whole human.
Wait a minute, I'm a robot over here. What are you talking about? I'm a machine.
What might be true about you if there's too many things happening?
Stress goes up, and I'm going to reach for the unhealthy snack. So, a lot of crunchy stuff.
So if we can go like a layer deeper, what happens if, as all of these things are in the air for you, if they don't land the way that you need them to?
It's just because I really don't like dealing with a lot of the details. And when I have to deal with too many details, I actually get exhausted. And that's what happens. My team and I, we try to do what we can to make sure William stays out of unnecessary details, and having to deal with a lot of the personal stuff, creates more details. So, the sooner I can get out of the details, the happier I will be, and I'll be a lot more efficient for everybody.
Okay.
So I'm a very big picture, and when I have to get down into the weeds, it's mentally and emotionally exhausting.
We can take this a couple of different directions, but I was curious for each of you, like a lot is happening at one time, and effectively, each of you are the leader of your firm, of your client base, of your family. I don't know what other commitments that you have. In this time where a lot is happening, what do you need most?
Another me.
Okay. And what would the other you provide?
Twice as much time to get through all the details, such that we can get those completed and off our plate so I can get back to the big picture stuff.
A question just popped up in my brain. I don't know if this lands for you, but are there things you're avoiding with the details that you know I
No.
do have the time, I can address this, it's hard for me to slow down and just address it.
I would say no. So I
Okay.
feel like I'm going 16 hours a day, and I sleep when I can, and I just keep cranking.
What about you, Leanna and JP? As a leader, what do you need most?
So I think for me, you could, I could use another person. I have people, but what I need to do is rely on my, I need to rely on Travis more, but I also see him, he's the one that's navigating our whole transition. So he has a lot on his plate. So he's doing a lot of that organization stuff and things like that. And I'm trying to keep the business going so that that frees up his time to deal with those things. So I think that's part of it is, relying on staff more and
May I
just
ask a
it
question on
up.
that?
I mean, I struggle, if I get an email, and somebody's asking me a question, we talk, there's a lot of tools that you can have the emails just go directly, to somebody and have them screened by somebody else, but it's technology that we're not doing. So I manually, for the things that come through to me, I have some alerts set up and it automatically shifts it over to my assistant. If a client emails me and she's not copied in on it, I forward it to her, ask her to deal with the particular situation. But it's a second thought because my first reaction is to type a long email, type the response to the client or type this sentence to a client and then tell her I'll have Alexis follow up with her. But what I should just be doing is forward the whole thing to Alexis. Not engaging in that email any more than just to forward it to Alexis for her to deal with it. So again, it's like, but I physically, need to stop myself from controlling that situation.
Are you aware of a body stance or a thought that crosses your mind or something that's predictable that when you get that email, something clicks in gear?
You mean in my response of how I deal with the email?
That, like, before you start drafting and go into that mode of like, this is how it was, I answer the question and then I forward the thing. It's like the step right before that. Something in you clicks in gear to say that automated process is going to happen.
Yeah, I guess I'm, for me, it's, yeah, it's my mind. You know, when I see that email from the client, I feel I have to, as the advisor, that I feel I, in my mind, have to be the one to respond to it. So I'm trying to change that mindset that I have to be the one that controls that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So my mindset is I have to disengage from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the stuff is something that Alexis can direct or figure out the email and then take the responsibility to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, talk with Leanna. I'm going to set her up some time to give you a call, you know, later on today or tomorrow, and then have Alexis come back to me and say, hey, I scheduled time on your calendar. You know, you've got to call Kathy in regards to this email that she sent you earlier or to deal with these issues. Instead of me interrupting myself,
mm-hmm.
And you know, trying to deal with it right then and there. So, and that's, you know, last week today, but I go in spurts where I'll be really good about it and sure. Then I will revert back because right now we can't just shut my complete system off. So, you know, we're kind of dealing with this for the next probably 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
But in our future space, we know that it's the email is going to be built where there's one email address that's coming in. Alexis is going to monitor that and then delegate out emails that I need to respond to with a set time of when I'm calling or dealing with a particular email issue. So that's how our.
So one thing that we talk about with mindset work is that it's a learning process, the learning of how we tick. And the step one is awareness. And so just this is how I know I'm snapping into that mode where I'm going to be the one to answer the email and then forward it after to my people to make mm-hmm. the thing happen. For me, I notice my body shifts in. Like there's a drawing force of it. Yeah. There's a little bit of a ping that happens in my chest, like a it's like a surge, a tightening, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me go like, they need me. Something's wrong. It happened this morning. I had it again happen. Yeah. And so if we can catch ourselves there and then shift in that moment to say, oh, mm-hmm. it's just that thing I do. All right, Alexis, handle the thing.
Yeah.
If you can get present to what it is that shifts for you, that could be supportive.
Okay.
And keep yourself in the same space.
Yeah.
How does that apply, if at all, to you, JP?
I'd say that I've taken on many things slightly different approach. If it's something that gets me in that mindset, I take a moment to realize how immediate is the need. Is their world or my world going to crash? If I don't immediately respond, and
mm-hmm.
99 times out of 100, it's not. And I think for anything where there's a initial reaction that gets me, I don't know if defensive is the right word for what you're saying, but sometimes I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, I don't push that off on anyone else. I will say, you know what, I'll look at the request. And depending on the time of the day, it's either end of day or possibly 24 hours. I need a cooling off here just to think about my reaction first.
Awesome.
Because I know my first reaction, whether I polish it up or not,
mm-hmm.
might not be what I am going to wish I had said.
Okay.
5 hours
So it
a day.
sounds like you have an awareness of when you kind of snap into that mode. Do you have an awareness of when you snap into the shiny objects, all the different things mode? What does that feel like for you? What's true, predictable?
I actually enjoy it. Because I think most of those things will give me success. It's just a matter of, am I sacrificing the short term for the long term? And is that okay for the next 5 weeks or not? So when you go back to what could I use to help with these issues, I think is somewhat how you worded it. I would say, number one, for anyone on this call that's seen the movie Limitless, I could use some NZT. I'm not seeing too many faces that recognize that reference,
I haven't seen it.
for the other thing I would say is thinking bigger picture, an assurance that if I don't hit my quote unquote target by that 1 year mark, that I'll still be here. And if that's the case, I'm okay with focusing on long term at this point and saying, you know what, I shouldn't be focusing on the next 5 weeks. It was just somebody that in the transition process made a comment to me that wasn't from this firm or my last one that made me go, maybe there's bigger stakes than just the, upside of if you hit that target, you know.
So I'm curious with that, you said you really enjoy it. And so the thing that like popped in my brain was that like lottery ticket type hit. Like there's a way that I hear you saying some of these activities, I'm starting to get into the rabbit hole and start doing the research thing and planning thing, and it's distracting me from what I need to do. And yet I also hear like a dopamine hit that comes with some of those ideas that you start to drill in. Is that fair or do you feel like it's off?
I think it's fair, but I think it's for productive purposes. But again, it's just a matter of productive for what window of time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The latest rabbit hole is trying to see how much detail I can get out of the different AIs out of a marketing, what do they call it? Omnichannel marketing strategy, right? Because I know damn well that not all marketing activities are treated equal. And even if you do the best ones, if you do them out of order so you can't feed one off of the other, then was it really worth it? Right? So that's something that I think is productive for me. But is it getting in the way of the next best step? Yeah, I recognize that absolutely.
Great work. Yeah, and is productive in the way of your big why? That's a question you can ask yourself, or maybe create some sort of visualization around, like, is this productive for this moment, or is this productive towards my ultimate big goal? Great work. William, what are you getting out of this conversation? You're on mute. I would love to hear your voice.
Oh, that's very nice. What I'm getting out of this is I'm just going to have to just get through this moment. And when we get to the other side of this moment, sit down and think about the priorities. So, like I said, I'm really looking forward to being done with Surge, which ends next Friday, April 26th. And then be able to step back and breathe a little bit and then think about what we need to do, what type of things I'm going to have to try to find other resources to get done in my personal life. And then from the business standpoint, being able to delegate a little bit more to my staff and slow down some of the projects that we're probably trying to complete.
I love that you said get through this moment. It made me curious if, like, you're a very reflective person, and do you have particular phrases or sometimes people use words affirmations that help you feel like I'm back, I'm here, that tell you things are okay?
Oh, I know things are okay. It's just getting through the moment. It's sort of like, sometimes you gotta clean up the kitchen before you can cook. So it's just get the dishes done and, get it nice and tidy, and we'll be on the other side. So it's just one of those. We're just in one of those moments. And as far as affirmations go, I hadn't thought much of it, but I know that things will be okay. And just learn to breathe a little bit and just be patient. This too shall pass.
Yeah, I love the dance with trust there. I notice, like, for myself, I too tend to, like, I go to crunchy snacks when I have an anxious interaction with someone. Like, it's usually a relational thing, something that's not being spoken in the room. I'll go there. If I'm feeling badly about myself, like I really screwed something up, that's when I go to sugar. So just noting what it is that sparks the crunchy. For a resource, if anybody's interested, wants to look at these habits with food or other compulsions that we have distinguished as bad, they're also just a leading indicator for something else. And so there's a book called The Gift of Our Compulsions. Candidly, it's so dense. I haven't read the whole thing, but it's been very insightful for me just to distinguish when I go to what type of food and what is that telling me about what just happened. And so my invitation for you, William, as you catch yourself going to for this crunchy snacks, perhaps you're getting it after, like, you finish it and you reflect back, oh yeah, I just did that thing again. Or maybe it's in the moment where you're like, these are nice and crunchy and you're feeling it. Or maybe it's as you're grabbing whatever it is that's crunchy. That's when you can bring in the affirmations. Maybe it's like, all things are working for my good. It's okay. And maybe you let yourself still have the crunchy thing. That's a great place to bring in your breath, calm yourself down, bring yourself back to the present moment as to clean the kitchen so you can cook.
And what's the name of the book again?
The gift of our compulsions. Yeah. All the grace to each of you as many things are happening at once. It turns out we are human and there's a lot of beauty in that. And I get that we want to be robots. We want to get everything done all at once. Any ways that you can add grace onto your plate, whether that's maybe saying no to somebody, adding more rest or a quick getaway, something that makes you really happy. Maybe it's like going to see water. Doesn't have to be a big, long, expensive excursion away. If there's a river near you, just go see the water on your way home or something. Was this supportive?
It was. Thank you.
Great work. All right. Well, we have 15 minutes remaining. And there's been a lot of comments, and I really have not been following along as to pay attention to what people are saying. So I'm going to just open up if there's anybody who would like to get coached one-to-one. Assert yourself. Come off mute. Let me hear your voice. And Allison, you can unpin. JP and Leanna and William, thank you so much for being willing to be in front of this group and share what's happening for you. I have it that it's really impactful for others to hear just through the lens of somebody else's story as to gain their own insight. Anybody else want to be coached? You spent good money on this program. And we're not halfway to the year through the year, but you still can have some amazing things happen in your business, and perhaps there's this one place that you feel stuck, and maybe it's a little thing that you're like, it's my note taking, or it's my I don't know what it is, but how can you get yourself that next boost of momentum?
Liz?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so my
I see you,
question
but I
is,
hear you.
oh, it's Roshni.
Oh, Roshni.
Yeah, so my question is, I started the program with a lot of momentum, but I've really kind of lost momentum in the last few weeks, or I would say last month and a half. I've kind of lost momentum. And I was at the Charlotte retreat, learned a lot, and I've been trying to implement those things, but I just, I spent a day and a half just figuring out where to start. And I know we're supposed to focus on the next best step, but even doing that was just overwhelming to me because I felt like I already know what's working, but then I also want to be very detailed and not miss on things that I need to work on. So doing that kind of review of what's already working, but then figuring out what's not working and not missing all of those things, that just added so much overwhelm to my plate. And I've not been able to start anywhere. And in the meantime, I have all these other things I'm doing. I just hired 3 people this year, who I'm training, and new things always come up with them. I still have to help them make decisions. So it's just, I feel like I have no time. And, I just keep doing all these business stuff, like fees and, answering emails and stuff like that. And I know we're supposed to, do less of that and hire someone to do emails and all of that, which is true, but there are important emails that I do have to get to sometimes. So that takes up my time. And I feel like I really don't have time to work on my business. It just, that's the one thing that I keep snoozing on, the next week. And things don't happen. And then I feel the stress all the time. Like I'm really running behind, like I'll wake up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so behind. I haven't done all these things I need to do. And there is that one thing that client asked for that didn't happen. So it's just, it's that kind of overwhelm and feeling like I'm not really, I haven't really done the things I need to do, but then there are all these other important things that I'm missing out on. That's what I'm kind of struggling with.
If overwhelm is a gift, what is it telling you?
Well, if I look at it positively, I think I care a lot. That's the positive side of it.
Okay. More. Is there something else?
Oh.
Sorry, I wasn't sure. I couldn't tell. I was actually trying to figure out if you were having a moment or if there was something else or if you're waiting on me. So
no. Yeah, that's it. I think I care a lot and I really want to succeed. I think that's the positive side of it. If I really
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what can you not accept about all that is right now?
What can I not accept is wasting time, is not doing what's important and just, feeling 6 months down the road, it's like all this has become even a bigger list of things I need to do and all the progress that I made, it's just gone to nowhere. And, it's like at the end of the program, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should have done that. I should have done that. There was so much that I could have done, that I could have improved, but I just didn't because I was just wasting time, so.
What kind of person wastes time?
In person. Person was not motivated, was not. Yeah, who's not motivated, who is, basically lazy.
What happens to lazy people?
They don't succeed because of their own lack of making use of time. Yeah.
And what's hard for you about not succeeding?
I think it's just that I'm doing all of these things. I'm making a lot of effort, but if I don't, if I don't succeed, then it's all going to be for nothing. Like, what's the point of doing all this if you don't get the result that you should get? Yeah.
And how are you defining success?
Success would be meeting my goals, the targets, like some other advisors had said, the targets that I've set for myself of having these many clients, you know, having this niche, all the reasons why I started Limitless.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to someone the other day and they were talking about how when we plant seeds, let's say it's for like a flower, a tree or something, you plant a seed and you don't dig it up to see if it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. And there's a way that I hear like, this is not happening fast enough. Does that land? Or am I off?
Yeah. It does. It does. It, yeah. I think, yeah, I think mindset is a part of it. I think it's also some kind of feeling like I don't have time to do what's really important. And I know that you guys had that big mindset shift of, you know, you have all the time to do important stuff, which is really true. But, you know, I've just been so, yeah, I've not really been consistent with that, consistent with reminding myself of that and kind of falling on the wayside of, yeah, just the
Even with your reflection on that, Roshni, you just said you guys have this thing that you guys do that you have all the time for what's important. Doesn't work for me. And that's okay. Like, just notice that you separated it out from yourself. And so what is the ringing truth for you?
You know, I think somebody else said this. I think it's like keeping going back to your old habits. That's happened to me. You know, when I started at the beginning, I was so energized and I was really like, okay, I'm going to, you know, bring these mindset shifts to my behavior every day. And I was doing really well, but then I do, you know, revert back to my old habits again, and then getting back again to the good habits to challenge again. And then, you know, I realize that, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I did that, you know? So it's that loop. I don't know what your question was, but yeah, that's what is causing that.
It's the old habits step in.
Yeah, old habits. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want your relationship to time to be?
I think I want to, yeah, I want to be able to do all the things that I want to do and, you know, to feel like I've done a good job, you know, to have the time that I spend at work be fulfilling. Sometimes I tend to spend so much time in my head just thinking and not taking action, you know, because I'm so overwhelmed by things, and that causes even more stress sometimes. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to think at all. I just want to keep doing, like, you know, put one, what is the expression? Like, put one step ahead or one foot at a time, like that, rather than just be on my head so much. So sometimes I think so much, like for an hour, I'm just thinking about stuff, you know? And I really don't want to do that. So if I even stop doing that completely, it'll be such a positive. But sometimes I just spend like an hour in this overwhelm, like state of just looking, thinking about different scenarios and this and that. And, you know, what happened yesterday, what the client conversation was, or what happened in my personal life. Mm-hmm. And that just creates this like smoke in the air in my mind. So not having any of that, just going from A, you know, this priority to this priority to this priority, not thinking too much, just action. I think that would be, if I could do that, that would be great. And I think my relationship with time would improve a lot, because I would feel like I'm really using time well, and I'm doing, you know, all the things I need to do in the time I've allotted myself.
How do you want to interrupt that when you catch yourself in that smoke?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess writing something would be helpful, but then, you know, how am I going to remind myself to look at what I've written where?
Yeah. I wonder if there's a couple ways that you can design it, but the first piece is catching yourself in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you have some level of awareness once you've been in it. It may be a length of time that's passed. And then you're like, oh, I am rehashing this thing. I'm way in my head. And I heard you say that you want to be in action in your body. Or writing something down or something. So you want to have motion.
Right, right.
So perhaps maybe it's a word that you say to yourself when you catch yourself there. And it can be a random word. It doesn't have to be. Like maybe that's helpful to just cut the smoke of... Yeah. Frog or what? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like yeah.
Something that pops up. Okay. Maybe it's maybe you have a tangible reminder of that thing. And then, you know, when I catch myself doing this, I'll say that word and then I'll go get a drink. And just like a little habit to break up some of that overwhelm.
Yeah.
How would you design it differently?
Yeah. No, I like that because sometimes what also happens is I get into this overwhelm and then I'm like, oh my God, I need something to soothe myself. So I'm like, I'll just read the news or, you know, I'll do
how
something.
How does that help you?
Yeah, it doesn't because you get in the rabbit hole again. Right? And you've spent like 2 hours just reading random news. And so, yeah.
Yeah. So that's another just point of awareness when you find yourself in the news. You can be like, oh, was I just in overwhelm right before that? Oh, I was. Oh, my goodness. Frog. And off to the next thing. Christy says in the comments there, remember to change the channel. Like myself to change the channel.
Yeah. Okay.
Rashani, that's what helps me at, you know, has helped me at the 3 a.m., right? The when you're like in the middle of the night, you know, how you mentioned and all the things that are running through your brain.
Right.
And I'm like, this channel sucks. Like I'm changing the channel. It is time to go to the rest channel, like to the recharge, to the peace, to the calm. Like that channel gets enough time. I'm changed. Like, and I truly like, it's like a visual thing in my, and I like just changing that. And because like, we can just be so freaking hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, so hard on ourselves about this. So.
So find the trigger for you that really suits you. Like whatever word or idea or concept that just helps you break out. And I know we're at time at this moment. I don't want to end before addressing Elba. I see your hand up. But was this helpful for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank Do you, you feel like you have your next step?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. Great work. All right, Elba.
Hi. I think I'm in the same boat as Roshani. I started the year very pumped, but some situations got in the way during the month of March. And right now I'm feeling a little bit lost. So my question is, if I follow the, you know, that in the website, you have, you know, the vision for success, and then subsequently you have other lessons. So should I just, because what I'm trying to do is just go through the lessons so I don't fall too behind. So that's basically what I'm asking. How can I do to get up to date?
So you're asking how to get back into that feel good, happy space.
Yeah.
So it's just an emotion, and we can put ourselves in that. I'm just going to like cut right to it instead of pull out coaching. If you can imagine yourself as what it felt at the beginning of the year to be in that momentum space, and even just visualize, walk yourself through that one day, maybe look back in your calendar and say, oh yeah, I remember that conversation was super exciting for me, or this conversation, or this trip helped evoke this new thought. Whatever it is, get yourself into that visualization and feeling that feeling again. And just keep practicing. It's like, it's muscle memory, but on the emotional space.
In terms of, because if we're joining the discussion, everyone is doing certain things. So we do move together, right? Basically, through the lessons, I mean.
I may be missing what you're asking. So are you asking how the program works?
Yes, I think so. What I'm saying is that when we started the program, you go to the website and then there's the, you know, the vision for success, which is going to be the lesson one and then lesson two and so on. So my question is, should I just keep on doing, because when I did that diagnostic, everything was in red. So for me, I just want to have something that I can follow, a procedure that I can follow so that I know that I'm on the right place. So my question is, should I just keep on doing those lessons in the order that they are on the website?
Allison, I'll have you kind of speak to this one. It seems more like your wheelhouse.
Yes, I would love to. So in your program guide, which is, there's a document and it has the file that has all of our lessons, and it's almost like a board game and laid out one at a time. But you wouldn't be able to do all of those in one year. And if you tried to do it, it would be a very overwhelming experience for you. So instead, when you attend the virtual summit, pick one lesson to work on that quarter. And let that be your priority and drive you forward, as opposed to trying to work on all, you can attend four lessons per virtual summit. So maybe it's two lessons for you. And then the next summit, if you've finished and you feel completed with what you did the previous quarter, then you can move to the next one. If you're not completed and you're still working on your service model, you're not ready to hire, which is one of the things we're going to be focusing on in June, keep on working on your service model until that reaches its natural conclusion. And so just take it that way, start at the beginning, but focus on one to two lessons at a time on a quarterly basis. That'll help you keep on track. But there's no metric aside from you feeling like you're actually making progress and seeing things through. You don't have to do every lesson. You know, there's the lesson, the reward for that would be total overwhelm if you tried to do every lesson in a year.
Yes.
Yes. Just focus on one to two per quarter. Make sure you feel like they're completed and then move along to the next with our next summit.
But basically, I should just follow the order that's on the website, little by little.
Exactly.
So that I can feel comfortable. Yes. Okay. So go on at my own pace.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect. Thank you.
I give you permission to do that, as opposed to feeling like you need to finish anything.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, it was great to spend time with each of you today. I trust you'll have a great week ahead. Be well and reach out on Tribe as things come up for you.